Well, hello everybody, and welcome to... No, I won't say this is episode 17. Because... I think this episode's going to be more of a... Sorry while I move the microphone. This episode's going to be more of a... have a lovey-dovey type approach to it. And I'll just explain why. Outside. So I was just opening my blind so I could see outside the window. I hope if that gets a little too quiet, I'll edit that bit out. Just you guys think that he's just an idiot. No, today has been the last couple of days have been quite interesting. I've gone from speaking to a couple of friends of mine online to realizing how lonely life can get. And I think that what the scary part is that I don't want to accept that. I don't want to accept that for a long period of time in my life I could be alone. You know, it's funny that something simple, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was getting ready for bed, and I looked out the window, and it was one of these odd nights where it was a clear day, it had been clear all day, there would be not a cloud in the sky, still blistering cold, mind you, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and I could see the sunset. Now, what made me think was the fact that I was standing there looking at this sunset, thinking that I really wish I had somebody here to share this moment with. Now, I don't mean that I wanted to have somebody there to share the moment as in, that I just wanted somebody to be there. I mean that, yeah, I go in for all this kit and caboodle about love and the true love and all that crap, you know, about how there's that one person out there, you know, that one person that's going to make you feel really special, who will really love you, you know, and all that's fantastic if you can find them. But I think at one side, you have to admit to yourself that you may not find them, and that you've got to settle for a backup, if you will. Sorry guys, I don't know why I'm like this today. I think it might have something to do with the fact it's snowing. I mean, it's like just now it's actually more as if it's about to hailstone with the snow, but you know when, I digress back to my favorite film again, in Stepmom, when she realizes that she's dying and that she's not going to see her kids again, and she takes her daughter out on a horse ride in the middle of the snow. And it's really, really scary to have to think that you're not going to be able to share moments like that with anybody. You're not going to hear a song with somebody and have it touch you, not inappropriately, before half a dozen of you say that. I mean touch you as in touch your heart, make you feel that you're that there's something special that can be done between you and this person. You know, since I was about 16, since I started working, so yeah, I've been working when I was 16, I've had on and off relationships, which is probably pretty much like the same as everybody else, really. But like a lot of headstrong teenagers, if you will, I, as usual, just like a lot of headstrong people, you know, you think it's love, you know, you want it to be, and then it clicks in your mind, no, it's not, don't be daft, don't be stupid. So, but I know that at least at one time I felt as if I have lost something. And the scary thing is having to admit that. Having to admit that you ballsed up, that it was your mistake. If you're mistaken, the consequence of that is that you have to live the rest of your life alone. And not that at the end of the day, that mistakes happen and that they can get over, you can get over them. Some mistakes you can't get over. It's odd to think that I'm only 21, I've had about four or five different boyfriends in total. I never really went in for that whole one night stand, heat night things. I never did any of those. I think I did one to see what it was like, and at the end of the day I thought, not a chance, I don't like this. So I more so go in for making friends now than anything, and if anything happens at the other end of it, then it happens. I'm not going to force it to happen. But the scary bit is that is trying to remember that you need to open up. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to open up, or even when I'll be able to open up. What I do know is that, like so many others, I'll have to open up. You know, open your heart and let somebody else in. Now, I know there are a few people out there that I talk to who are in predicaments at the moment about what they should do. And the only advice I can give, which I know that not a lot of people like my advice, because I usually am either crap or I give abuse. So hold on a second for me, guys. Okay, sorry about that. So, yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah, my advice. Well, at the end of the day, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. And I never thought I would ever, ever hear myself say that. Because when I was younger, I was always the one who said, no, best not to let anybody hurt you, you know, go through life and keep it neat, keep it clean, don't do anything that could cause you any pain, don't let anybody hurt you. And it was strange to suddenly feel that, no, you should let people get close, and if they hurt you, then you need to deal with the pain, deal with the anger. Let it show and let it through. Let, you know, don't hide it away. It's the anger that and the pain after someone close hurts you that makes you stronger. But I think that when it's you that screws up, you yourself causes the mess, makes the problem, that's when you can't work through the anger, because you can't work through the pain, because you don't understand why. All you know is that it happened, you did it, and you want to get over it, but you don't know how. I mean, don't get me wrong, every relationship I've been in, it has always been a monogamous relationship. As far as I was concerned, it was a monogamous relationship. Don't know if any of my exes will agree with that, seeing as most of them decided that it was alright to be sleeping around. But it's always based on trust, loyalty, monogamy, and love. You know, it's based on all that and more. You know, it's like, it's what you feel inside your heart. It's not what you read in a book. It's not what somebody tells you about somebody. It's how you feel when you look inside your heart and you ask yourself, what do I feel about this person? You know, and I'm not saying that within like the first couple of days of meeting somebody, you're going to be able to go, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. Not a chance in hell. If anybody can say that, then yeah, there might be two love out there, but love is blind. Love is extremely blind. I mean, for those that have seen a picture of my last ex, you'll know love is blind. I'm no hat trick, believe me, I am not. But everybody that I've spoke to from my old life and that I've started speaking to through my new life, through either through podcasting or whatever, has said to me that you must have been really, really depressed when you got with this guy. And to be honest, I don't think it was out of depression. I think it was more that I had gotten used to having somebody there. And I don't mean that I don't mean that I just needed somebody to be there, whether he was slim, fat, ugly, whatever. But I mean that I'd gotten myself used to having people there in my life. You know, people who would tell me that they cared for me, people who would tell me that I looked nice, you know, or that they loved me or whatever. You know, and the one thing I forget to remind myself is that love is a word that can be thrown around quite easily by a lot of people. So, as much as, say, you saying it to somebody and you mean it, your meaning it doesn't necessarily mean that they're meaning it when they say it back. I mean, I've known countless now for me to have said, while speaking to somebody I thought I loved on the phone, you know, I love you, and then da da da. Next thing I know, I mean, that's the other thing I don't get, is when somebody is talking to you, if you're supposed to love somebody and you're talking to them on the phone, and they say to you, I love you. I never understood why people don't say it back. You know, they've got to go, oh, you too, or me too, or same to you. You know, I never understood that. Because it's like, surely if you love them, you could say it. You know, it's like, just say that you love them. Tell them you love them. You know, it's not like they're gonna suddenly jump through the phone and strangle you, or that the next thing they're gonna be saying, oh yeah, come on, let's go and see if you can get pregnant and go and adopt kids. And if they're not gonna do all that. They're just gonna know that you care. Unless they're completely psycho. And believe me, they're out there too. The psycho ones are out there, believe me, I know. I'm quite psychotic myself at times. But I think that's the one thing that's scary. It's purely because we try so hard to show people what's on the inside, but then we also try to keep everybody as good a distance as we can so that we don't get hurt. Where in the end up though, we cause more pain and hurt by not going through all that than we do if we were to just go through it. You know, I've spent many a night, I mean, ended up ending on a couple of days after my birthday. Fun year for me that was. But I remember that night. Needing somebody to talk to. And as I went through the list of friends that I had in my head, and the ones, and then going through my phone book, I thought, you know, I wouldn't trust to speak to anybody about this. Because that's the other thing as well, is that when we get hurt, we tend not to want to talk to anybody, because I don't know about you guys, but I always end up feeling that people aren't going to understand, people aren't going to be helpful, they're not going to be sympathetic, they're not going to be nice, they're going to, all they're going to do is laugh, cause pain, anger, and upset, and things like that. So we tend to end up not talking to anybody, ending up, you know, sitting on our own, ready to end up in tears, you know, going, oh God, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do, I'm so scared, I'm so alone. I mean, in my case, because it was a couple of days after my own birthday, I did spend a couple of days crying my eyes out. You know, I think the better thing about it was, it was my 19th birthday. So the funny thing is, it's only 2 years ago. But my 19th birthday was, it started off well, you know, like most birthdays do. But then, by just a couple of days later, I don't want to get a drink here. It felt as if my whole world had come crashing down around my ears. You know, I've spent the best part of, excuse me, I spent the best part of a good number of years now trying to sanction to myself that you will find somebody. Excuse me, guys, I didn't mean to do that. I'll see if I can cut that little bit out without damaging too much of the sound for everything else. I spent the best part of my life trying to find somebody who I feel close to, who I feel I'd be able to let into my heart. But you know, this is going to seem completely way off point, but to me it seems to follow. Years back, well, not 20 years back, but to me I feel old. Friends of mine used to ask me when I knew I was gay. And I remember telling them that I knew. I mean, on some level, your whole life, you know. You just don't accept it. But then there's like this one defining moment that you just turn around and you go to yourself, I'm gay. I'm not straight. I can't see myself having a romantic relationship with a woman. And when you do that, there's always that one defining moment you remember. Now, maybe it was because, in my case, I had an overdominant father, and I was close to my mother, whatever. But I know that the one dominating feature that happened in my life was that, was when my grandmother died. Now, when I was a kid in school, just like a lot of other kids, I was bullied like fuck. I was, and it was like, to quote a phrase for somebody who I know will laugh at this, for fuck's sake, it was awful. I mean, bullying is just wrong. I mean, for all intents and purposes, right? Having a joke with somebody and having an argument is nothing compared to what you can make somebody feel inside. I mean, the news is always littered with people with stories from people who have committed suicide because of bullying, who have ran away, or who have got beaten up through bullying and things like that. And it always amazes me that we still do so little about it. I mean, for example, the school I went to, it was what they called, which was one of their big plus points for a lot of people, was they had a zero tolerance to it. Was that as soon as you were accused of bullying, if and it was proven that you'd done it, you were out of the school. That was it. You were gone. Now, that was quite forward-thinking, considering the school I went to was a Catholic school. You know? And I just remember that when I felt extremely set back, and as if I wasn't worth anything because it took me a long time. I got bullied through primary school up to secondary school, and you know it's always different when it reaches secondary school, because it's like you try and think that when you look back on it going from the end of primary school up to secondary school, you look at it and say, oh, it wasn't that big a deal, you know. But at the time, when you go from being the oldest in the school to, you know, being the most mature people in there, to going to be the youngest again, that's a big deal, and that takes a lot to click through your mind. And one thing that ends up happening is that, I know for me, I ended up being completely and utterly separated from everybody I knew. I knew nobody. And I think that was a lot harder for me to make friends that way, because I didn't know anybody. I had gone from, I mean, it seemed like I was put in a class where it was like practically the whole class, except for me and one other kid, came from one school. And it was like, it just seemed to us that for this class, they just separated, put two or three into it, so that they didn't look so bad if anybody looked at the classroom register, they said, oh, we've mixed them up, look. Oh, they weren't with them in this class when they were in primary school, so. But it just felt, when I started getting bullied and I plucked up the courage halfway through my second year in high school. And when I plucked up the courage to finally do something about it and confront the issue. Now I'm a scrawny little git. I will admit that I have no strength behind me. I 9 times out of 10 will run from a fight. But when I confronted about this issue and I reported it, I thought this zero tolerance issue that we've got is going to work in my favor. Because yeah, I'm going to feel awful about the fact that this kid is going to get expelled, he's going to have to go and find a new school and everything like that. But it was when I reported it, it became so much more, because every other time, like before I reported mine, there were another couple of kids who reported bullying, and it was by the same kid they were all getting bullied by, and that kid was expelled straight off. You know, no qualms about it, that's it, you're gone. He was replaced by another kid who was on the waiting list to get into school. When I reported mine, school thought it would have been an embarrassment for them to actually expel this kid. And one of the whole reasons I reported it was because I was made feel, because I spoke to my guidance counselor about it, and the way I was made feel about it was that I was going to, by reporting it and by having it proven by teachers and things like that through their reports, that I wasn't going to have any major issues about it. It was going to be that literally, we can prove this, so they're gone. You know, they ain't staying. But when it came down to it, they stayed. And at that point, I just lost all faith. For a while, I lost all faith in humanity. Because it was like, why should we believe each other if we can't even tell? You know, honest kid, I don't actually know if they're gonna get kicked out or not, so I don't know if it is a benefit for you to actually go and report this. So when it came up, because by the end of this point, my guidance counselor thought, we actually have to go and report this properly. We went and reported it. So, I mean, and this was like really sordid stuff. This is stuff I didn't even tell my mother half of this. So, it was like stuff like I had one of my teachers had scratches on his arms, and it was from his cat, because his cat had some sort of illness or something, and while she was ill, the cat had scratched him, and he had to take it to the vet and stuff and leave it there for a while. And one of the forms of bullying I got was, while we were standing outside this teacher's class one day, the group of kids decided to say to me, to start have a go at me, and were going on about how apparently I had been the one to cause the scratches on his hand. You know, and saying that, oh, you've slept with him, oh, you've done this, oh, you've done that. And it was like, that was really downheartening, because it was like, can you guys not just leave me alone? I mean, I went through most of my schooling, wanting to be alone, not wanting anybody near me, for fear of they were going to say something hurtful. And in the end up, I practically got my way. In the end up, I spent most of my time walking around the school alone. I barely had any friends whatsoever to talk to. Whenever I was sitting on the school bus on the way home, I used to remember how awful it was, because you used to hear all the other kids making plans on what they were going to do that weekend, you know, or what they were doing that night with each other, and I couldn't make any plans, because I didn't want to even step foot outside the front door for fear of what would happen. And it's not, living in fear is not good. I don't care if anybody says that fear is a good thing. Living in it is not good. And for people to not understand how we end up living like this, believe me, that is screwed up. I mean, for somebody, I've had numerous times when I've actually decided to confront people or open up to somebody, and I've been told, oh, you're just being silly, oh, it doesn't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, actually, yes, it does mean something. It does hurt, and this is not the way it should be. I spent long enough being pushed down, and whenever I did decide to come up and try and put my head above water, it got pushed back down again. And that's scary. It's not nice. It is not nice at all. And I mean, when I went through my schooling, I did a lot of help with younger kids. And to be honest, I don't think it's getting any better. I think it's actually getting worse. It's getting worse because kids these days, yeah, we are all a lot more tolerant for a lot of things, whether it be sexuality, religion, color, origin, whatever. We are a lot more tolerant, and kids are extremely tolerant, you know? Kids don't pussyfoot about. Kids say exactly what they feel, which is great for kids. But in schools these days, we're teaching them that they shouldn't speak up, that they should go along with things the way they are, and that's it. That they shouldn't stand up and be individuals. They shouldn't stand up and tolerate everybody else, that everybody is equal. They shouldn't know that. My nephew coming home one day from school and saying to me that this little fat kid had bullied him. Now, believe me, the bullying, we got sorted. But it's the kind of thing that got me thinking, well, wait a minute. This is my, at the time, my nephew was like 7 or 8, and I remember going, this was like a 7, 8 year old kid saying, I'm getting wheeled by a little fat boy. You know, now to a lot of people that may not seem like a lot, but from where I grew up, and from everybody going to a Catholic school, that was huge, purely because at that point in time, we all respected our parents. Nobody stood up against our parents. You know, it was like, you stood up against your parents and you were like, it was like you were exiled. Nobody spoke to you. You got the couple, you know, the couple of rebellious kids who defied everybody and did everything they wanted when they wanted to. But it became apparent that schools these days, people these days we're not getting any better. We're getting worse. And we need to get to the point of where we can see our kids being able to turn around and speak the way they want to, but to be able to tolerate each other. I mean, in fairness, I think the reason that a lot of us are so screwed up at the other end of life, without being able to understand what we're doing, what's going on, and why we're so incapable of finding and understanding love, is because of the crap that we get put through as kids. I mean, I went through a lot of shit, and for all the crap I went through, for every time I tried to stand up and be strong and be a force to be reckoned with about it, I got knocked back down, but not by the opposing person. I got knocked back down by the people that were supposed to help me. I mean, don't get me wrong, throughout my life there have been times when I stood up and people have helped me. I mean, when I came out in school to my guidance counselor to try and gain some perspective on life, it was really helpful for her to say to me that she didn't feel it appropriate for me to come out in school, purely because my life would have been a lot, made it extremely worse. I would have been bullied every corner. I would have ended up having to have an escort walking me from one classroom to the next. And I just don't understand why we've let ourselves get this way. You know, where we are so screwed up, why we are at times afraid to talk to one another. Ah, well. What time are we at anyway on this? 33 minutes and counting. Well, I'm not going to play any promos or anything. I'll just give you a few shout-outs for some things. Because I think I've ranted on enough. Don't forget that you can go and visit the Twinkle Boy podcast over at www.twinkleboy.co.uk, Wanda Wisdom over at Lucky Bitch Radio, Madge Weinstein at yeastradio.com, and don't forget there's also Reagan Fox with foxinthecity.com, no, reaganfox.com, what am I saying? And don't forget Capital Homo with the Capital Gay Show at capitalgayshow.com. I will speak to you guys later. I am probably going to have a couple of people now trying to Skype me. But I doubt I'm going to speak to anybody for a couple of hours yet. So have fun, enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I hope you've got someone nice to share it with. Enjoy.